Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. All right. I know there were some praises out there somewhere. Praise God. Well, praise God. I don't have a title for this sermon today. I just got some scriptures, okay? So you can title it whatever you want to. Just call it the good news or whatever. That'll work. But it's Philippians 4, 1 through 9, okay? And I felt like the Lord was drawing me to this, so this is what I'm going to share with you today. Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to have your way here today. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. I ask you, Father, to help me bring this word. I come basically with empty hands, just asking you to just fill them with your word and just minister to your people, Father. And help us all to just hear what your spirit would speak to us today. And we'll be most careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, for you alone are worthy of it all. And I just thank you for what you're going to do ahead of time. You know, years ago one time, when I was a really, really young Christian, I mean, I was a baby Christian, you know what I mean? I wasn't a baby, but I was a baby Christian. And I was reading Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And when I was reading that, you know, I come to realize that God wants us to be one. You know, there's only one faith, one baptism, one spirit. You know, all those things are one. And God's big on ones. He's not big on twos or threes or any of that other stuff. I mean, those numbers are all very important. But his main number is one. And that's what he desires us to be, one with him. And if we're one with him, we're going to start being one with each other. Because you can't be one with him without being one with your brother or your sister. Because that's what he prayed in his high priestly prayer. Father, I pray that they might be one, as you and I are one. You and me and them. And then he went ahead and said, then the world will believe. And we can send out all the missionaries we want. We can send out all the great teachers that we want and so on and so forth. But I'm going to tell you what, until they see the church stand up and start moving in oneness, they're not going to believe. And that's what it's going to take. So there's nothing wrong with sending out missionaries or evangelists or any of these other things because they're very necessary. But I'm going to tell you what. Until we start standing up as one in the Lord, you know, the world is not going to believe. You know, when I was reading this first chapter of Ephesians one time, like I say, I was a young Christian then, and I love the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is a wonderful book. It has a lot of the truths of God in it. And I tell you, you could just study in the book of Ephesians for years and never get it all because there's just a ton of stuff in there. And we know that we've been predestined, and we know that we've been given an adoption as children, and that word for adoption is placing as a son. You know, that's what that word actually means in the Greek, placing as a son. And, you know, it's by Jesus Christ to himself according to his good pleasure of his will. And you know what? It's not according to what you did, but it's according to what he did. And I love that. And it's according to his good pleasure. And I'm going to tell you, it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And you say, well, Brother Oscar, I've heard a lot of kingdom messages over the years. Most of y'all have been around for a long time. You've heard a lot of kingdom messages. And there's tons of them out there, and they're wonderful. But you have to learn where the kingdom of God is.
Yes.
And you know, they came to Jesus one time, and Jesus said, the kingdom doesn't come with observation. In other words, you're not going to observe it coming. You know, we want to observe it coming because that would be glorious. But he said, the kingdom of God is within you. And until we quit looking out there for it somewhere and start looking in here for it somewhere, we're not going to find it. And we're not going to come into the totality of it and the release of it inside of us. And, you know, one of the things that the Lord showed me out of this first chapter of Ephesians years ago, and I've not got into my text here yet. I will in a few minutes. But one of the things that he showed me years ago was that in Ephesians 10, it says that in 1:10, it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one. And it has to be in one. It can't be in two. And it can't be in, it has to be in one. All things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, and whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purposes of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. All things after the counsel of his own will. All things after the counsel of his own will. You say, well, Oscar, why do you keep saying that? Because we don't believe it most of the time. Well, bless God, I can't believe God was in that, or God was in this, or God was in something else. Well, not according to this word. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, I'm going to tell you what, a lot of people get upset when you start talking about that you feel like that God ultimately is going to save everyone. They get upset with that. But if he works all things after the counsel of his own will, and if the scripture declares that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, what does that mean? Well, all things. I mean, he works all things after the counsel of his own will. And if he's not willing that any should perish, guess what? They won't. They'll come to repentance somewhere, sometime. They'll bend that knee and they'll confess him as Lord and Savior. Whether it's on this side of the veil or the other side of the veil, somewhere they're going to do it because the word declares it. And he said, I'll honor my word above my what?
Name.
And you know what his name is up there, don't you? Jesus never fails. There's no other name given amongst men whereby you must be saved other than the name of Jesus. There isn't any, you know. you have to acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior. But when he tells you that every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess, how many's every? That's all of them. Now, I can't explain all that to you and tell you exactly when it's going to happen, exactly how it's going to happen. I don't know. I just know it's going to happen. You know, when I go out of here and I get in my car and I stick that old key in the ignition and I turn that key, I can't tell you everything that takes place in that car, but I know one thing. It fires up and I drive out the parking lot. You know, it's going to happen unless my battery's dead or I got another mechanical problem. But I have faith when I go out there and stick it in there that it's going to work. And I got news for you. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we have to believe that his word declares. Now, I know that there's a lot of scriptures that seem to go against what I just told you. But I'm going to tell you what, they really aren't. Because we don't know what it's going to take and exactly how he's going to do it. I don't know. But I tell you, Scripture tells you that in the fullness of time, he's going to gather everything in Christ. Everything. Okay? And he wants us to be one. And I'm going to go ahead. Well, I'm going to read you one more scripture out of Ephesians 1 before I get into Philippians. And it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? It's not according to your mighty power. It's not according to your abilities. It's according to his mighty power. And he has all power. He was given all power in heaven and earth. You know, he is what was said in the Old Testament about El Elyon, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And that's exactly who Jesus was. And that's exactly who he is. Praise God. Now I'm going to get into Philippians, and I want you to listen to this very closely. Philippians 9:1 says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." And you know, I like what Ephesians, the whole book of Ephesians, because it keeps telling you stand, 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 stand if you go through it. And Watchman Nee had an excellent book on standing in the Lord, you know. And if you ever get a chance to pick it up, if you've never read it, it's excellent. And Watchman Nee was a Chinese man who was persecuted, but God used him mightily. And boy, I tell you what, don't worry about what happens out there in the world. Quit worrying about all that stuff. Your God's in control. He's sovereign.
Yes.
If 1,000 might fall at your side, or 10,000, but no plague will come nigh unto you if you trust him. You'll be okay. You just trust him. And he said, "I therefore, my brother, dearly beloved and long for in my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." And boy, I tell you, Paul loved people. He was always talking about the love. He just loved them. And he said, "I beseech thee, your donus, and beseech thee, Sutake." That's how you pronounce it. I'm trying to pronounce Greek words, and it's all Greek to me. So if it sounds Greeky, it's kind of Greeky, okay? "That you be of the same mind in the Lord." And the story here goes that there was two Christian women, and they loved God, and there's no doubt that they loved God, but they were at odds with each other. And, you know, I can liken that to a lot of things that's going on in the world today, but I tell you what, the most important thing is that you love God. But that Eudonis, her name literally means a prosperous journey. And it literally means fragrant. And, you know, I remember what Brother Eddie used to talk about a rose. You know, when you step on a rose, guess what? It still smells like a rose. And probably smells more like a rose when you step on it than it did when it was on the vine. And I just want to tell you that no matter if things go your way or don't go your way, what's the fragrance that comes out of your life? Is it the fragrance of the Lord? He was the rose of Sharon. He was the lily of the valley. He was all those things. And he dwells inside of you. So if you find another fragrance coming out, and it's not a sweet-smelling fragrance, then you need to say to the Lord, "Lord, deal with that area in my life and begin to give me victory in that area, whatever's causing it not to be a sweet-smelling savor." And then the other person there was Sotoke, and the root word for her name means to change together. It means, i.e., to meet with. And I'm going to tell you what you need to do when you find yourself at disagreement with folks, you need to be willing to change together. And you need to be willing to meet with those people. And first of all, you need to meet with the Lord, and then you need to get right with the other people. And here's what he said here. He said, "I entreat thee also true yoke fellows, help these women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life. Now, what do you do to begin to change yourself if you find yourself sometimes not squeezing very fragrant? And you know, there's a lot of fragrances, you know. I go in the bathroom in the morning and I wash my face, and you don't think I shave, but I really do. I shave around my neck, because if I didn't, my beard would be hanging down to here. And I shave around my neck, and I get that little bottle of Smell Good out and squirt it on my neck so that hopefully I smell good when you come around me instead of stinking. But I'm going to tell you what, there's other things that go on in that bathroom sometimes. And sometimes the fragrance in there is not the greatest in the world. We've all experienced that, especially ladies. When us men come out of there, sometimes they go in there and we'll go, whoa, who was in here? You know, because we have a tendency that we don't get the air spray out or the freshener or something and try kind of straighten it up a little bit when we come out of there. But you know what? I'm going to tell you, here's what you have to do to begin to change the things in your life. I love this chapter. It's a great chapter. These first 9 verses are very good. Here's what it says. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Now, you know, always is a compound word. In all ways. The ways you like, the ways you don't like. Always is always. It means everything. Okay? It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. You know, I've found out in Scripture that when the Lord repeats himself, what he's really saying to you is pay attention, stupid. I'm telling you something. Pay attention. And sometimes we're kind of stupid at times. He has to repeat himself to us. And he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. First of all, enter in with praise. Then enter in. Don't be careful about praying. Pray and ask the Lord. If you don't understand something, ask the Lord. You know, I heard a minister pray one time, and he said he felt like he'd been taught a lot of wrong things in the church. And he said he happened to hear a Jewish Christian minister on the radio. And he said he'd been told these things, and, you know, he'd believed them, these things he'd been taught. And he said that guy said to him, if you really want to know the truth, ask the Lord. And he'll tell you.
Yes.
And he said, you know what? He said, I did that. And he said, and what happened was God turned me completely around.
Yes.
And he said, instead of believing that everybody was against me and that I couldn't succeed and I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that and I couldn't do something else, he said, now I go out and I preach that there's nothing holding you back. You can do all things through Christ. You're more than a conqueror. You know, you're kings and priests unto God. And he said, I began to preach a wholly different message. And he was a minister himself. He said, but I had been taught that stuff for so many years. You know, and I'll tell you sometimes, the Christian people, they'll tell you, oh, I'm just a dirty old worm, and I'm just this, and I just can't. No, I'm going to tell you what. When God looks at you, he looks and sees his son. I don't care what stage of growth you're in. He looks at you when you're a little, when you see a little bitty baby crawling, you look down at that little baby and you don't say, well, why ain't that thing up on its feet and running and doing this and doing that? You say, oh, ain't he cute? And you know, God sometimes looks down at you when you're crawling around on the floor and he says, oh, ain't he cute? I'm going to get him up off the floor, though, and I'm going to make him walk, you know. and he'll lift you up, and he'll kind of nurse you on and push you on a little bit. Next thing you know, he's got you on a two-wheel bicycle with the two training wheels, and then he's got you on one where he took the training wheels off, and he's telling you, now I'll hold on to the seat, and you just ride it. And then all of a sudden you look back and he ain't holding on to the seat and you're riding, you know. And that's the way it is with God. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to grow up, and he's going to cause you to grow up. And he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, giving thanks, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And if you do that, it says, and then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now, if you find yourself being unpeaceful, being irritated, being distraught and all that, then you need to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I want that peace that passes understanding. You have to start asking for it. And he says here, finally, brethren, now this is how you begin to get that peace. You have to do something. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If you find yourself thinking in the other vein, you need to ask the Lord, Lord, change my stinking thinking and get it over in the right vein. Because that ain't of you. You know. Let's go through that again. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me to do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, I'm going to come back and I'm going to read this to you again, but I'm going to read it to you out of the Message Bible, okay? I like the Message Bible because it kind of busts you right between the eyes, and you sort of need that once in a while. It says, my dear friends, I love you so much. I do want the very best for you. You make me feel such joy. That's good, man. Fill me with such pride. Don't waver. Stay on track. Steady in God. I urge Yodita, or how do you pronounce that word? There's some words I sometimes can't. I'm not very good at pronouncing them, the Greek words. And the other one is Suntike is how you pronounce that one, because I've got it broke down up here. To iron out their differences and make up. God doesn't want children holding grudges. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're at disagreement with folks, I don't care what it's about, start making up with them. Quit letting those things build a wall between you and them. Boy, I tell you what, there's a lot of walls out there. Yes. God wants to break down the walls. Yes. He wants to break down the walls. And anyway, he says, iron out their differences and make up. God doesn't want children holding grudges. You know, when Mark was a kid and Jennifer was a kid, they'd go out and play on the street. And we lived on a dead-end street. And the Robinsons lived down the street. And Susan lived down there and her sisters. And Susan was theatrical, you know, very theatrical. And she ended up later on directing plays and doing all that kind of stuff. But even when she's a little kid, she'd get them guys together and they'd have plays, you know. And, you know, she'd dress them up and they'd literally put on a play for the street a lot of times. But, you know, sometimes they'd get to fussing with each other. And, you know, we had a couple situations where certain parents on the street wouldn't talk to other parents because their kids had fussed with each other. But, you know, when the parents got out of the way, those kids were out there playing together. I mean, it was gone. They forgot about it. They let it go. And you know what? We need to be like little children. We need to let it go. If somebody, you know, I think God might have been partly responsible for that that little kiddie show that was on, you know, the Ice Princess thing where, what was the big song? Let it go, let it go, let it go. Well, you know what? That's what we need to do. Quit worrying about the differences. Quit worrying about when you have religious friends, if they don't see everything the way you see it. Just love them. You know, don't talk bad about them. Don't point at them. You know, if somebody's in the third grade and you're in the seventh grade, you don't need to be pointing a finger at the third grader and say, oh, you're so stupid. No, they're right where they're supposed to be in the third grade. And someday they'll be in the seventh grade. And you know what? Learn to forgive and learn to forget, because if you don't, I'm going to tell you what, we were talking about, he shall have judgment without mercy back in Sunday school to him that hasn't shown mercy. But it said mercy smiles in the face of judgment. And you know, if we forgive other people and we forget these things, don't let little differences create walls and create hard feelings and all that stuff. And it goes on, oh yes, since you're right there, help them to work things out and to do the best with them. These women worked for the message hand in hand with Clement and with me and with other veterans. Worked as hard as any of us. Remember their names also in the book of life. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. That's pretty good. Make it as clear as you can to do all you meet that you're on their side. Quit being against people. It ain't about being against people. We should be for people. Quit being against people. Make it clear as you can and do all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them to see that the master is about to arrive. He could show up at any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on the things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly things, to praise and not the things to curse. Put in practice what you've learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. That's good. I tell you what. All things in Romans the 8th chapter, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. All things. So what are you saying, Oscar? You saying the things that I don't like work together for good? Yes, they do. The things that irritate me work together for good? Yes, they do. The things that I almost hate? Yes, they do. But I'm going to tell you what, we're not to hate anybody. We're to love. And if we find ourselves getting in a hateful mood towards other people, we need to ask God, God, replace that with your love, because you don't treat me that way, and I'm not going to treat other people that way. Praise God. Well, that's about all I had to share with you today. But I'm going to tell you what, God's doing some wonderful things. He's in control. The world ain't falling apart like everybody thinks. It's not going to fall apart. It's not going to blow up tomorrow. It's going to be here tomorrow. And I just want you to know, you're going to set creation free as you grow up in the Lord. And I'm just, my heart's desire is, God, grow us up. Grow us up. Help us to come to that fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, that we quit being children tossed to and fro by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. And you know what the only truth is? Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm going to tell you what, future does not depend on politicians. It does not depend on the money financial system out there. It does not depend on any of those things. It depends on God.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you what, He wants to give you a great future, a wonderful future. And if you're in Him and He's in you and you acknowledge that every day, that's exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you something else. The world out there is not your source. God is your source. And buddy, when you come to that realization, you don't have to worry about what's going on out there. You can begin to just start to rest in the Lord and know that He's your source. We was down at the radio station the other day, and I was talking to him about Lily and Lily Caraway, you know, and Lily used to go to here years ago, and some of the newer people wouldn't know her, but Lily was she was a doer, you know, and she was a sweet lady, and I went through some discipleship classes with her years and years ago before I was ever an elder in the church or anything, and you know I loved what Lily said. She told us, she said, you know, she said she was teaching this class, and she said she went to the jail to do some jail ministry. And she said, she talked to this one woman, and she said, hey, she says, why are you in jail? And instead of the woman saying, well, I didn't do anything, she told her, she says, I stole shoes for my kids. My kids didn't have no shoes, and I stole shoes for them. And she said, I thought, I didn't know if I believed it or not. And she said, I asked her where she lived, and she told me. And she said, I went to that lady's house. And I knocked on the door. And she said, all these little kids came to the door. None of them had shoes. This makes me cry to think about this. She said, I went and bought every one of them kids a pair of shoes. She said, how can I go back and talk to that lady about the love of God unless I was willing to do something to change what had put her in jail? And she said, I bought every one of those kids a pair of shoes. And she said, then I went back and I ministered to them. Well, you know, Lily ended up going to, when she was really old, she was way up in her 60s, she ended up going to Africa. Because God, you know, she said, she felt like the Lord told her to go to Africa. Well, Lily was a black lady, for those that didn't know her. And she said she got rid of all of her stuff, and she's actually Goldie's sister, you know, but she's went on to be with the Lord now. But she said when she went over there, she started a mission house. And she said, you know, they tried to teach abstinence to the people in Africa because one of the problems that they had over there was that a lot of the African men thought if they had AIDS, if they would grab some young virgin girl and have sex with her, force them into having sex, that their AIDS would go out of their body. Well, what they were doing is spreading AIDS all over Africa. And she said, so she went over there partially to help teach abstinence. And she found favor with the government, and they let her do it, you know. But she said they also passed out food. And she said that this person came needing some food. And she said our pantry was down to one can left. That's all we had, one can of food. And she said, I gave them the last can of food that we had. But she said the next day, somebody showed up,
tons of groceries. That's the way God is, folks. Be obedient. Do what God tells you to do. We gotta quit. We gotta start showing the mercy, the love, the forgiveness of God. There's gonna be times when God might tell you to give somebody every penny you got in your pocket. But if he speaks that to your heart and you want to go in on into the deep things of God, be obedient and do what he tells you to do. And I'm going to tell you what, you won't miss God by giving. You won't miss God by doing for other people. You won't miss God by forgiving other people. People who've mistreated you in times past, pray and ask God to let forgiveness flow out of your heart to them and forgive them. And you know what forgiving means? Forgetting. It means getting it out of your system, letting go of it. Let it go. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you, folks, we're going to have to come to a place where we start changing the way we think. Quit allowing the things on the outside to influence us. There's too much stuff out there in the world that tries to influence us. And I tell you what, Facebook can be a good thing, but also can be a really bad thing too, because there's a lot of bad stuff on Facebook. I mean, there really is. You know, I always sort of thought of Facebook, and I'm on it, but I don't use it very much. I'll be honest with you. Very seldom do I even look at it. And I'll tell you what, I found out on Facebook is a lot of times people will say stuff that they ain't willing to say to your face. I call it behind the back book. That's what it really amounts out to. Because they won't say it to your face, but they'll say it on Facebook, you know, a lot of times. But I'm going to tell you what, don't let them things out there influence you. You know, gosh, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if it's something that's negative and ugly and stuff, don't believe all that stuff. Because I tell you what, there's so much crap out there, and it's crap, a lot of it. It's not even true. And if it... What he said up here, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any praise, there be any virtue, think on these things. Don't think on all that garbage people are putting out there. You know, it's like what they say, Brother Shepherd one time, he made a statement, he was talking about stored order of memory, and that's actually a computer phrase, you know. And you know, stored order of memory is whatever you put into memory, it stores it. And then whenever you need it, it comes back. Well, you know what? If you got a bunch of garbage in there, garbage in, guess what? Garbage comes back. So we have to start beginning to say, I'm not going to listen to all this ugliness. I'm going to start saying positive things. I'm going to start saying good things. Because if you let it, I'll tell you, it'll drag you down. And you know, the Lord dealt with me years ago about that. And I've shared this poem before, but I'll share it again. And it says, it seems that man is ever talking about himself. He talks about his good deeds, and he talks about his wealth. He talks about his neighbor with words I hear will shun. You know, and he don't want us talking about our neighbor with words we're going to shun, that we shouldn't be saying. He wants us to realize that our neighbor is every man. It's every man. You know, Jesus, never, the people who were real bad sinners out there, Jesus didn't beat them up. He showed them the love of God. And guess what? Their lives changed. You know who he beat up? The Christian folks back at that time. They weren't Christians. They were the Jews. He'd tell them, you guys put burdens on people that you don't walk in, you know. And we're not going to put no burdens on you. I just ask you to let the love of God come out of your heart. Yes. Ask him to help you be an expression of his love out there. And I tell you what, you want to see people's lives change, they'll start to change. But they won't change because you keep throwing negative stuff out there. That's going to just make the situation worse and uglier than it would have been. Well, anyway, that's all I got to say to you today. And like I say, I love you guys. And I see the best in you. I'm going to read you one more thing I got here, and listen to this, and then we'll close with this. And I took this excerpt out of a worship book, and it says, "Oh, my children, I have chosen you for myself.
that I may make you an instrument of praise in my hand. I will bring you forth from a melody of praise and rejoicing, and cause the harp strings of your soul to vibrate with joyful song. Bless me with your lips and whisper my name in adoration, and I will free you from the prison house and will exalt your God in liberty of spirit. How can you say to me, I am insignificant, unworthy? No, you are precious to me. You are the apple of my eye. Do not turn back in unbelief, but press onward and upward until the darkness is left behind and you come into the light. You will see me then face to face and know me as a dearest friend. Bring me all the puzzles you may question, need no answers. For when the heart is one with the Father, there comes an illumination of spirit that transcends thought. Understanding becomes a state of heart rather than an achievement of mind. Learn to worship and you will have rest of soul. You will rise to a new place of fellowship where you will be as a writer of a letter to Ephesians said, made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You will be taught by the Spirit, yes. He will open mysteries of the word to you, for it was by the Spirit of God that the scriptures were given to holy men of old. Even so, by the Spirit will the treasures of the word be revealed to you. But I love that because he's telling you, you know, don't let things pull you down. You know that he loves you. Know that the illumination, it's not going to come from your mind. It needs to come from your heart. It needs to come from your inner man. Praise God. If you all will stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. If anybody would like prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your words, for they truly are spirit and life. And help us to realize, Father, we've been adopted into the very family circle of God. And, Father, you don't want a bunch of ugliness coming out of us all the time, and accusations and everything else. And help us to not be drug into the stuff of the world. Help us to know that you want us to speak positive things and lovely things and talk about the beauty of you and your love and your mercy and your forgiveness. And, Father, we'll be most careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, for you're the only one that's really worthy of it. And we thank you because I believe that you've got people who are going to ascend into the heights with you. And as they ascend up into the heights with you, they're going to be part of setting creation free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. And I thank you because creation's groaning and travailing, waiting to see the manifestation of the sons of God. And when that manifestation fully comes, Father, it means taking the lid off. When you take the lid off and let creation see the love of God, Jesus had a great impact upon this earth. But I'm going to tell you what, when his body actually grows up, Father, it's going to be a fast work, and it's going to be a wonderful thing. And it's going to be a glory which has never been seen on this earth before. And I thank you, and I give you all praise and glory, and I ask you to just bless your people. And just, Father, let them turn a deaf ear to all the negativeness and begin to start moving in the positive realms of your spirit. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all.